Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today our guest is Dr. Esa Altero. Did I say it correctly?
Very nice.
There
Very
you
good.
Go. Great. From Finland originally.
Yes.
Who now is a professor in South Florida, South Florida Bible College, right there in Deerfield Beach. And you are the dean?
Yes, Dean of Faculty.
Dean of Faculty. And you're here in Croatia. What in the world are you doing here?
Well, this was kind of an interesting divine coincidence that I met this Pastor Andrew in South Florida, and then we kind of started working together with South Florida Bible College and Gospel on the Go. So that's how really I ended up to Croatia. And this summer, I've been here teaching on the Epistle of James and also visiting some of the Roma villages. So it's been a really great experience to, you know, just to be here, minister, fellowship, and teach the Word of God.
And you've done a great job. Just so you know, listening audience, it was, I think, what, about a year and a half ago, we formed a partnership with South
Yes.
Florida Bible College.
Yes.
Where South Florida Bible College provides the academic delivery system to our students here. We have undergrad students here in Croatia. And you guys have done a great job, and we're so appreciative for our partnership.
Thank you,
and
appreciate it.
You know, and what ended up happening was that you came out last year here to Croatia.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
at
I
first.
Did.
You
yes.
were in Finland with your family.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and said, you know, I'm going to come to Croatia. Yeah. I want to do some teaching.
Yeah,
right?
And it was just such a great divine coincidence because I go to some in the summertime. I go to Finland, and it's almost like around the corner. So it's a lot shorter way to travel from there to here than from Florida. So it's really, I mean, I have, my heart is also to, you know, to bring the gospel to Europe and also especially to the Romi villages, make disciples and equip leaders and you know, help people get to know the Lord in more in depth.
Wow, we appreciate your heart. You are unbelievable. So you were here last year and then you just came mm-hmm. a couple days ago and we had you in the Romi villages yeah. yesterday, yeah. three villages all
yes.
day. We left yesterday morning here from Zagreb, the capital, where our church is around what, like 8:30, quarter
Something
nine
like
in
that,
the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
We got home what time last night?
What, 10:30 yeah. something like that? Yeah, yeah, long day.
And you did a ton of teaching. You did such an incredible job teaching in James.
Mm-hmm.
And why don't you share with the listening audience a little bit of your experience working with the leaders in our Romi villages and teaching them?
Yeah, I mean, it's to me, it's always a great experience to go to the Romi villages because you can see something that you would not necessarily expect in Europe. I mean, you can see such poverty, spiritual poverty and material poverty. But then you have these people that have got to know the Lord and they are so hungry for the Word of God.
Yeah.
And I can see from the last year, especially some of the Romi leaders, how they've grown spiritually, how they're hungry. And now when I ask some of the questions about the scripture, I mean, boom, they got the right answers and they were applying it to their lives and they are willing and they desire to disciple the younger believers
yes.
in their communities. And that's what it's all about. Leaders and making leaders and disciples discipling. So that's just awesome.
Right.
That's
and
awesome.
I watched our leaders yesterday. They love you. I mean, they all came up to me. Oh, Pastor Andrew, when is Dr. Esa coming back? And we're praying for him to come back soon. And you really yeah. were a big hit. And you know, and I really appreciate the way you really challenge them to the high
yes.
standard of
yeah.
God's word.
Yes.
I mean, when
yes.
you were teaching them James, you were mm-hmm. you were getting a little serious with them.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, by the way, half brother of Jesus, James says, you know, can't have arguments with
right.
each other.
Yeah.
Tame your tongue. No,
yeah.
you went
yeah.
deep
yeah.
with them,
yeah.
which was great.
Yeah, and I think one of the kind of like the challenges of giving Bible studies of at any level is not just to give academic information, even though that's important too, but to really help people go deep.
Yes.
You know, so that it's not, we don't, sometimes we just give out platitudes, you know, right. love each other, God is good, be good, do this, but to really apply, like in what we did, the contextual Bible study is that you look at the text in depth and then you align your own life story with the Bible storyline, and you can see what the connections are.
Yes.
So you're challenged by the text, and you get to understand the text, and that's how God speaks, especially yes. when we discuss together. And it, I think one of the interesting thing too that we incorporate as a new thing this year, we did the same Bible study here in Zagreb, and we had some Croatians and some American missionaries who were here who studied the same passage 2 days earlier, and then they came and sat down in the same table with the Romies, and we could see that, well, there were some similar things that they had discovered from the past, but also the ones who thought that they were teaching were also learning.
There you go.
and that's what, maybe let me give you an example. I made this little observation yesterday. We did a study on James chapter 2, when it's basically verses 1 to 9, where it's the story, an illustration that James says that, well, two people came to the church. One was rich with a golden ring, and then the poor person. And then the poor person was shamed and put in to sit somewhere in the corner, and the rich one was escorted to
the best,
to the best place. So now, our people in Zagreb and the American missionaries could relate on some level to the story, because obviously the point is we should not discriminate on the basis of socioeconomic, you know, status.
Especially those of us in the body of Christ.
Correct. Yeah. And it was an actual illustration within the church.
Right.
So a lot of the people in Zagreb and the Americans, they said that they sometimes have some sporadic experiences that, you know, some spiritual leader wasn't treating them well, or, you know, it was kind of like individual sporadic experiences.
So, not the norm. The
not the norm, yeah. And they could relate on some level to the text. But then when we heard the stories from the Romies,
wow.
Okay, I've been discriminated by the doctors, in the government office, at work, I mean, everywhere, in the restaurant, school.
Church of the country.
Exactly. Catholic Church. Yeah. And also then, okay, this was on the societal level. Then we also asked, well, how about your own village?
Uh-huh. Good.
Because we're believers.
Yes.
We have been spat upon. We have been discriminated, but we have the grace of God. And now, because we are believers, before we would have had a fight, but now as believers, we actually have grown spiritually. So we didn't retaliate. We didn't get into a fight, but we were able to, with the aid of God's help, we were able to, you know, maintain peace, and we were actually praying for those people.
And I heard, and I think it was the third village, Lanchadova, where as they were sharing that, and I don't know if you know the whole background, I don't remember them getting into it with you, but that village, which is the oldest Romi village in Croatia,
yeah, right.
They literally had an internal war in that village for the last probably 30, 40 years. They're all related.
Yeah.
There's only like three last names there, right?
Yeah.
So they're all related.
Yeah.
Seriously, mm-hmm. They had wars.
Yeah.
I'm talking guns. I'm talking knives.
Yeah.
I'm talking one side of the village against the other side of the village. Well, praise God, we didn't know about this when we first went there.
Yes.
But our Romi leaders that you sat with yesterday, they ended up going to the other side of the village. This was probably about a year or so ago. And made peace with the other side.
Wow. That's God working.
It's God working.
Yeah.
And yesterday as we were leaving, there was a guy on the other side of the village who was dying.
Yeah.
Older gentleman. Yeah. He's been coming to our church. He's heard the gospel so many times.
Yeah.
We've prayed with him. Yeah. Our guys were there in the house yesterday praying in front of everybody for this man and with this man. And what a difference it's making.
Yeah.
What a difference it's making. We just praise God.
That's
saw all the kids yesterday in the third village.
Yeah.
They're from now both sides of the village,
where
before it was just one side we were able to reach.
Yeah.
So,
So, I mean, the gospel transforms
there
people, the word of God, the spirit of God. When he moves, I mean, miracles happen.
Well,
I mean, that's the only thing you can, you know, you
Ephesians
can
2,
yeah.
The dividing wall is broken. There's no Jew nor Gentile now, and praise God for that. And again, you did such an incredible job with that. And with that said, so you were here last year, you're here this year, and obviously you're coming back next year.
Right, yes.
You can't. The Romies will
Lord
bug
willing.
Me. They will drive me crazy.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know that the powers that be at South Florida are going to keep having you come back, but we'll figure out a way to get you here. With that said, I want to transition to our topic for today. You know, you're an academician, academician. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You're a dean at the university. Yeah. You obviously have a heart for ministry as well.
Yes.
I mean, there you are in impoverished villages yesterday. I mean, it's just incredible. So it's rare that you see somebody with a PhD.
Right.
Rolling up their sleeves and in a very, very poor village. And I say that not as criticism against the PhD.
Sure.
I have one as well.
Yeah.
But it's rare. Mm-hmm. So with that said, I'm going to ask you something. As an academic, as well as somebody who has a heart to reach the least and the lost, do you think that having a Bible college education or seminary education, do you believe that's needed, that's required, that's a must to be able to do ministry?
Right. Most definitely, people don't have to have a PhD to minister to people. So I think that's one kind of extreme. But the other extreme is that, well, you don't need any kind of education.
Yes.
I mean, it really is not everybody has to go to Bible college. But in my opinion, I mean, that's just an indispensable resource that we have throughout the years understood to be a very effective way to disciple and get people to know the Word of God.
Sure.
And really to be equipped, like Ephesians 4 says, I mean, to equip the saints for ministry. Now, not everybody has to go through seminary, but everybody knows to know the Word of God.
Yep.
Everybody knows, has to know what mistakes have been done in the church history.
Very good.
And everybody knows to know has to know the basic doctrines. I mean, that's indispensable to me if you're in any kind of leadership position in a church. Now, are you going to do that at the seminary or PhD level? Are you going to do that at the Bible school or at the, you know, in church level? You know, that's how the Lord leads each and every one of us. But I think having comprehensive education is, it's just indispensable. And I think, you know, the Bible study structure and a model has proven to be a very effective tool for that. Because people can concentrate full time or almost full time for a certain period of time to study the Word of God and be really practically and theoretically equipped for it.
Right. So, and I'm glad you brought up the two things, theoretically equipped, that would be the academic part, and practically equipped, that would be the actual doing the practice or the ministry work.
Mm-hmm.
So you, as a dean of a Bible college as well as seminary, you would not say it's an either or, you would say it's a both and.
Absolutely. Because you have certain seminaries that are overly theoretical and they don't practically equip students. So I don't see that as the best model really. And if it's overly practical and it becomes pragmatic, then really you're missing out.
Sure, you're compromising
theology.
Yeah, right.
And you're compromising the truth sometimes, and it becomes an entrepreneurial, you know, marketing kind of pragmatic. So I don't really think that's, well, you can go to business school and you can get that.
There you go.
You know, so, you know, just you need to have the balance, the godly balance. Yeah.
Good, good, good. Dr. Essa, we thank you. We're going to take a break right now. We're going to pick up on this topic when we come back.
You're listening to Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic from his church location in Croatia. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go with a support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, where each week Andrew gives the Word of God via live webcast. For more information about service times and directions to Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, please find a link to their site at gracenetradio.com. And now, back to Hot Topics. Here again is Dr. Andrew Vuksic.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to Hot Topics, where we have Dr. Essa Altero.
Yes.
From Finland, living in South Florida, dean of faculty, and academics there at South Florida Bible College, which offers a four-year Bible college degree,
correct,
as well as now a seminary master's degree.
Correct.
Is that correct? And so just right here at the beginning of our second part, just give a little information on South Florida Bible College, website, what you guys offer, and let
the listening audience know. So South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary, we're in Deerfield in South Florida. And our mission statement basically is to equip men and women for ministry. And what we offer is two-year AA program in Bible, and then we have also the bachelor's degrees in Bible, ministry, Christian counseling, Christian clinical counseling, Christian business management, and also starting the Christian education program. And then we have a two-year master's in arts in biblical studies in the seminary, and 90-credit degree in master's in divinity. So that's really what we are offering, and also we offer online format for those classes as well.
Great. And if somebody wanted to find out more about South Florida Bible College, how's the way they can reach you?
Probably the best way is to go to the website, which is www.sfbc.edu, and then they'll find all the information and links from there.
Great. Okay, good. So that's that on South Florida Bible College. Again, listening audience, if you need any more information, further information on that, you can go to that site and learn all you can know about this wonderful institution. So
yes.
Good. So let's go back to our topic. Okay. So people ask me all the time, you know, Andrew, is it required for me to have a diploma from a theological academic institution to be able to do the Lord's work and to do the Lord's ministry? And as we were on the first part of the show, first segment of the show, you talked about how you believe it's not an either or. It's not like you either go to a theological academic institution or you don't and just do the practical ministry. It should be a both and.
Correct.
Well, let me play devil's advocate here, because some of our Pentecostal friends, as you tell me about, have said to me many times, as well as I'm sure to you. By the way, you go to a Pentecostal church.
Yes, I do.
Okay, so you probably get hammered with this question. That would be interesting. You're an academic dean. And they're probably going to hit you with this in 1 John chapter 2, where John says, you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and this anointing teaches you about all things, and that anointing is real. Therefore, you don't need anyone to teach you. How do you defend that, Mr. Pentecostal? Look at your Pentecostal friends.
And I mean, I can say, even before I answer that question, I grew up in a church where I publicly heard from the pulpit that we should not study, not in a secular university, and we should not really study anything because the Lord is coming so quickly and the Spirit teaches you all things, so you don't really need. And this was one of the particular passages that was used to support that kind of teaching. So I mean, obviously, it was personally difficult to even think of studying. And the first step when I did take to go to the Bible college, it's almost like my eyes were opened and I understood, well, hey, you can actually understand this. It's not so super spiritual and mystical. You can actually understand the Word of God. You can apply it to your life, and it gives you wisdom, and that's what you need for ministry and for life in general. So coming back to this passage, obviously, you know, the first thing that obviously we could ask is, well, why did John write this?
There you go. Context. Good.
You know, look at the context of that book. If that was so obvious, John would not have written this epistle in the first place.
Correct.
So, I mean, that's so kind of darn obvious that sometimes we don't even think about it.
Yeah.
And then we have other scriptures that tell us that we should study the Word of God. Yeah. We should understand it. We should learn it and thereby gain wisdom. So it's not, again, an either or.
Correct.
You know, Spirit teaches us. Spirit leads us into all truth, as Jesus said.
Yep.
And then teaches all things, but the Spirit can actually use a Bible college, a teacher, or you reading the scripture. So again, it's not an either or, it's both. And the Spirit uses teachers.
There you go.
Spirit uses Bible college institutions and all kinds of methods that sometimes people don't think about.
Correct. And again, what you said is so correct about the context in 1 John. Again, you know, John is dealing with what we believe to be an early form of Gnosticism.
Correct.
Where the Gnostics were saying that you basically free yourself or gain your own self-salvation through this secret mystical knowledge, right? And that they offered people the opportunity to teach them how to do that. And John goes, No. You have the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You don't need these other bozo teachers who are false teachers. Test the spirits.
Exactly.
To see if they're, you know, preaching about the real Lord Jesus. So that was the context there.
Exactly.
So John in no way was saying, hey, forget about theological training, academic training, forget about even studying.
Correct.
Just be emotionally led based on what your feelings are, and you're saying that's the Holy Spirit doing that.
Yes, exactly.
And that's where we get a lot of crazy teaching because of that, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So in one respect, the Holy Spirit is our teacher.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is the best teacher.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Jesus said in John 14, 15, and 16, he will remind you of the things I've said.
Exactly.
But we also have a human responsibility. And again, you have to balance it. Yeah. Again, I think of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, where Paul was saying to Timothy, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, prepared.
Yes.
A worker who does not need to be ashamed of how you handle the word.
Correct.
But one who correctly, or in the Greek, accurately handles the word of truth. And in the Greek, as you know, it's a kind of a picture of somebody who cuts a straight line, a straight path. We need to know the word of God and be accurate in our study of it.
Yes.
As well as our sharing of it. The Holy Spirit works in and through that to illuminate more and more of his truth to us, right?
Correct. So in other words, we cannot be haphazard.
There you go.
And use that as an excuse that, well, spirit or whatever other thing is leading me to do this and that, and we're not even, we don't even know what the word of God says. Because I mean, that's an objective, you know, standard that we can refer back to. We can have disagreements, and there are some, you know, theological disagreements that we might have. But I mean, at least it's some kind of like, we know canon is a measuring stick.
There you go.
So we can compare our intuitive, spiritual, whatever thoughts that we have some kind of thing that we can fall back into, and that should be the balance, really, that we can reflect on and we can fall back on and test all the different teachings and spirits. Yes. And again, first John, the false teachers would not want to confess that Jesus Christ came into flesh. And I mean, that's a clear indication that's a wrong doctrine. You're on the wrong path. Doesn't matter what kind of inspiration of the Spirit you're saying that you said that Jesus didn't come into the flesh.
Right.
You're wrong. Plain and simple.
It's not from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And you don't have to consult any spirits or things or that, or you don't even have to pray about it.
Right.
You know right away that's wrong.
Right.
As simple as that.
There you go. And it's interesting. I love the word you use, objective. You know, God's word is objective truth. And again, think of Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. Be transformed how? Yeah. By the renewing of your mind.
Yes.
It's about your mind, and God in his grace has given us objective truth, and that truth is not within us.
Right.
It is outside of us. What that means is God's truth is God's truth, whether we believe it or not,
correct.
Whether we read it or not, whether we understand it or not, it's God's truth.
Whether we like it or not.
There you go.
There it is.
It is God's objective, rational truth given to people, right?
Right.
So when people say, well, I can find the truth within me. No.
You don't.
Truth is not within you. Okay? It doesn't originate there.
Right.
It originates from God.
Right.
It is his objective truth, which is outside of us. As we read and study it, then it comes within us.
Yes, it becomes part of us.
And then, as you correctly said, we have a standard, a plumb line, a measuring line to be able to objectively not just simply mystically or emotionally, we can compare truth versus lies, right?
Correct. Absolutely.
Yeah. And again, that's something that I believe it was John MacArthur years back wrote a book, Charismatic Chaos.
Right.
And that was one of the big things he was discussing where, again, people were allowing themselves to be led by their feelings, by their emotions at the expense of God's objective truth.
Right. Right.
And again, that's what creates chaos.
Yes.
That's what the Apostle Paul was dealing with in Corinthians.
Yes.
If you let your heart lead you, it will mislead you.
Yes.
Jeremiah 17:9.
Yeah. Yeah,
your heart is wicked, right? So again, now, student sits in front of you, a potential student, whether here in Croatia, there in South Florida, maybe someone from the listening audience, Dr. Essa, why do I need to become part of your academic institution?
I would say that you can study the word on your own, fine. There are even some good internet resources. But as I'm looking at it, yes, the church should be a place where you learn the word of God. But when you really take time and you focus on studying the Word of God.
Let me interrupt. Key word, reading or studying?
Studying.
There it is. It's deep studying. Yes. Wait a second. That's legal when it comes to the Bible? Yes. You want to go deep.
Correct.
Deeper in your knowledge of God so you can go higher in your worship of God, right? It's deep study.
Yes.
Good.
And I mean, if you think about if a person wants to be a ministry leader or a pastor, and if your responsibility then is to teach your flock, and you cannot impart and give what you don't have.
There you
go. I mean,
go.
As simple as that.
Yep.
I have heard so many pastors who repeat the same message, kind of packaged in a little bit different way, week after week, year after year, and I'm kind of trembling when I say it, but I would like to just tell them that, well, come to the Bible college, even for one semester or 1 year. Go deeper, learn these new things, which are not really new things at all, but they've been there in the Word of God all along, and then share it with your congregation.
There you go.
It's not only that your congregation will be invigorated, but you will be spiritually renewed, and you have something where to draw from, and the Spirit will take apply it to your life and to your congregation.
Spirit of God takes the Word of God and applies it to the people
Correct.
Of God. So it's not an either or.
No, absolutely not.
It's a both
and. The Word and the Spirit works together in beautiful harmony.
There you go. And that's the beautiful part. As we are faithful to go deeper in our study of God's Word, we know the Holy Spirit is more than faithful to illuminate
Correct. Yes.
The deep things of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He's like a deep sea diver. Mm-hmm. He goes down deep.
Yep.
He illuminates truth to us. And like you said, we're invigorated. We're able to pass on that truth to bless others. And most importantly, God is glorified. Yeah. Dr. Essa, thank you very much, and I'm so proud of what you're doing, not only in South Florida, but what you're doing here in Croatia. We're truly blessed.
Thank you.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.